like for you to turn today to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. So good to see Brother Callicott come in. And it's been a little while since I saw him. We preached a couple of meetings together there in Oklahoma a few years back. I always enjoyed his teaching and his preaching. It's good to see him here and different ones that's come in. We're so glad you're here. I'd like for the Lord to really help us in these altars today. And I want to do my best. I want you to pray for me physically. God would just give me a little bit of voice one more time here this morning. And I feel like God dealt with me. And I hope I can make this clear and that we can understand here today. And I'm not going to make you nervous. I'm not preaching anything real, real deep. I just feel a burden that I need to make it clear that we can understand what the Lord would have us to hear today. In Genesis chapter number 8 is a very, very familiar text and a very familiar story. But there's something in these verses of Scripture that I'd like to expound on. And I feel like there's a divine truth here that we need to see. In chapter number 8, and we all know the story, so I'm not going to take time to read the whole story about the flood. And there's so many good things about this, and Noah finding grace, and God giving him instructions of what to do during time of flood. In chapter number 8 and verse number 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. He sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. She returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth, and he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. I'd like for you to notice in verses 8 and 9, and I want to read those to you again. And he sent forth the dove from him to see if the waters were abated. And verse 9 is where I'd like to take my text. The dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. The dove found no rest. She returned. He took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And just for a little while this morning, I'd like to preach on from hovering to home. From hovering to home. The dove found no rest, and she returned. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. This morning when I was reading the previous chapter, and we're all familiar with the story, and I just wanted to mention this. I don't think it really has much to do with the rest of my message here. But I noticed that God told Noah when the rain was going to begin. He said, yet 7 days and the rain will begin. And the Bible tells us it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And it seemed that there was a revelation from God to Noah that the flood was coming. And I searched. Some of you Bible scholars may differ with me here, but it may have been my oversight. But I looked in chapter number 7, and even though God by revelation told him that the flood was coming and when it was going to begin, I couldn't find where God told him exactly how long it was going to last. Now, he did say it's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, but then we find in the last verse of chapter 7, the waters prevailed 150 days. Now, I don't know if Noah realized that in the beginning. He knew the flood was coming. And I'm glad for every time God reveals to us the problems that are ahead. Or maybe, you know, it's not always that there's a handwriting on the wall that tells us. I wish I could see around every corner, don't you? I wish that there was always a clear indication the flood was coming. And God in His grace, He allowed Noah to be revealed unto him when the flood was coming and when the rain was going to start. But I couldn't find where God spoke to Noah and said, here's how long it's going to last. Sometimes, amen, by faith, we just have to get in the ark and just wait and endure. One thing I remember reading several years ago, Spurgeon said, Noah could get down into the deepest, darkest part of that ark where there was no light and feel those waves crashing against the ark, hear the thunder and see the lightning flashing maybe. But in that darkness, he could reach out and feel the sides of the ark and know that he was safe. Hallelujah. In this text, we see how Noah uses this method of sending out these two creatures. The Bible tells us he sends out that raven. And he must have not been satisfied. And so he sends out a dove. And it's by this method that Noah uses these creatures to go out and return. He uses this as a method of discovering whether or not there has been a decrease in the water that has flooded the whole earth. First he sends out the raven and then he sends out the dove. But then in verse number 9, the Bible says that the dove found no rest. I guess one of the first things that comes to our mind is this dove, this weary dove that finds no rest, can only symbolize that soul that is in sin. And I'm not going to preach to you here anything you haven't heard before, but just what's on my heart this morning, just for a little while. And when we look at the story and we realize what's happening in the text, that dove that is so weary that goes out, and the Bible said in verse 9, she found no rest. Isn't that a perfect picture of those today that are out in this world away from God, those that are in sin? This weary dove, first of all, must be an emblem of that soul that is so weary in sin. That soul that finds no rest, wondering, searching, looking, seeking for some kind of hope. And while they're on the search, and while they're searching in their life, they're hoping that somehow they'll find peace and they'll find some kind of satisfaction and find some kind of rest. But yet while they're hovering in this world of sin, and while that they're seeking and searching in this world of sin, instead of rest, most of the time they only find ruin. Instead of satisfaction, most of the time they only come up with sorrow. Instead of peace, most of the time those people that are searching in the world of sin and hovering out there searching for satisfaction, searching for peace, most of the time they only wind up having more problems than they ever did in all of their life. And so one of the first pictures that we get in our mind when we see this dove going out and hovering into this place where the flood is, Amen. There is no rest. And the Bible said she found no rest. I don't know today, everybody that's in the crowd, but it could be that there's somebody here today and you're not saved. Somebody that has yet to find that peace. Somebody that has feeling that restless feeling that the preacher preached to us about last night. And instead of rest, the longer you look out there, you're only finding more ruin. And the longer that you hover out there in search of satisfaction, it's only bringing you more sorrow. It could be today that there's a soul that's sitting right within these walls that's been out there hovering in this hellish world, and they came in here this morning, and their wings are a little dingy. Their wings are a little tainted. Amen. They're a little stained from hovering out there. Amen. In this sin-cursed society. Amen. So today, sinner friend, I want you to understand that there's no rest in sin. Amen. There is no peace in sin. There is no satisfaction in sin. And when I look at this dove, and the Bible very plainly says that she found no rest, I don't have time to tell you of those that I know that openly admit that they're in sin. They openly admit that they're indulging in iniquity. And at the same time, they tell you, amen, that they're weary of it. At the same time, they'll tell you that they're tired of it. At the same time, they'll tell you, amen, that they searched for satisfaction and wound up more sorrowful than they ever did in all of their life. Amen, they'll tell you that they thought this would bring them rest and this would bring them peace, but instead it only created more chaos and more problems in their life. Amen, so listen, sinner friend, I want to tell you that in spite of what the devil is telling you, amen, there is no rest in sin. Not only does it make you weary, but it makes you dirty, it makes you dingy. And in my mind, I can see a tired dove, amen, that comes back all wet and marred its feathers, amen, that beautiful white coat of feathers all tainted and stained, amen, from hovering out there, amen, in the flood. Oh, sinner friend, please, would you understand today that there is no rest in sin? Amen, that hovering dove that found no rest, not only does it symbolize the sinner, amen, that is yet to find Christ, but it also symbolizes that backslider that one time knew the Lord, but yet now they have left the ark. Come on now. Amen. They have left that rest and they have left that peace. But did you know most of the time, if you could find a backslider that will be honest and sincere, most of the time that backslider will tell you that while they've been pursuing worldly pleasure, it didn't bring them any rest, but it brought them pain. Amen. You can talk to those that have left. Amen. What we felt around here last night. Those that have been acquainted with the anointing. Amen. Those that know what it is to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those that know what it is to pray at an altar and feel God Almighty. Amen. Touch their soul. Amen. Did you know that when that backslider, amen, leaves the ark and leaves, amen, this holiness way, you know what they do? They go out into the world and they're like that dove. They hover. Amen. Here and there. And there's some, amen, that has stretched themselves out on a bed of carnality. Amen. Trying to find rest. Amen. They indulged and covered themselves with the tapestries. Amen. Of degradation into a life of sin. Trying to find rest. And trying to find help. And trying to find hope. But you know what it is, my friend? Amen. They're like this weary dove. Amen. You're backslid from God. And you have found no rest. Amen. You have left. Amen. The Pentecostal church. You left the holiness way. But today you're weary. I'm telling you, backslider. Amen. Just like I tell the sinner. Amen. There is no rest in sin. When you get away from God, there's no rest. When you get away from the ark, there's no rest. When you get away from this feeling that we have of being saved, amen, there is no rest. Amen. Oh, when Brother Hyatt was preaching last night about that restlessness. Oh, God. And I know that he emphasized how that it is an enemy to the church. Amen. But he ever noticed how hard it is sometimes to get a backslider to come to a revival? Oh, God, they're so restless. Amen, they're so weary. Amen, they search. You know, my mom has a sister, and she several years ago, well, really all of my life, I mean, my mom's sister, they've done well financially. Her husband is a public accountant, and their boys went to school, and they were even going to help me go on to college when I got out of high school, and we'd go on vacation with them sometime as a boy. And I mean, they'd done well financially, but I noticed my aunt, she was always searching. What little time they went to the church, they went to a nominal Methodist church and supported that, but really they weren't faithful, they weren't saved. I remember one day she asked my mother, she said, "What does it mean to be redeemed? What does that word?" She said, "I heard the minister the other day, he mentioned that word redeemed, but what does that mean?" She wasn't saved, she didn't even know what being redeemed meant. But I noticed down through her life, having the finances to go here and there, always taking a vacation, a trip, a retreat, always doing this. Amen. I remember several years ago when the country music influence was so strong in the world, and it still is in some areas, but there was a time when everybody was doing the Cotton Eye Joe, and people that never had scooted their boots before, amen, was joining up in clubs, amen, never had danced, amen, in a tavern before, but it was kind of a, I don't know, kind of a spirit. Amen. Everybody was joining up, and so she bought a guitar and bought her a Western outfit and bought her some boots. Amen. Started trying to learn how to do all that. But you know what? It didn't bring any satisfaction. Amen. She's always up on the latest fashion. Amen. Always, she's an interior decorator. If the style's contemporary, she can decorate contemporary. If the style is, home interior, she knows how to put it all together. She's got a knack for that. Amen. She'll buy new furniture and sell the old furniture and get new carpet and tear up the old carpet. And, amen, just seem like, amen, that she's hovering out there trying to find something, amen, that'll bring rest. If that vacation don't do it, well, maybe this one will. If that new car don't do it, well, maybe this one will. But I'm telling you, my friend, amen, you can gain the whole world. Amen. But if you're lost without God, amen, you won't find any rest. I said there is no rest, amen, for the sinner. There's no rest for those that are backslid away from God. There's no rest. And the Bible said that this dove found no rest. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you won't find any rest out there hovering in that flood of sin. Amen. You won't find any rest. Amen. Hovering out there in this world. Amen. Hover over the tavern. You'll find no rest there. Amen. Hover over the casino and you'll find no rest there. Amen. Hover over a bed of adultery and you'll find no rest there. Hover over the entertainment and pleasure of the world and you'll find no rest there. Amen. But notice in verse number 9, amen, the Bible said she returned. Hallelujah. And then the Bible said that he, amen, put forth his hand and took her and brought him in. Could I tell you, my friend, amen, sinner, amen, you know what the key is to hope and help and peace? Amen, return. Hallelujah. The Bible said in returning, amen, thou shalt be saved. You're hovering in the world. You know what you need to do? You need to get back home. I said you've been hovering in sin, but today you need to get back home. Oh God. Are you dingy and dirty and disappointed? He's waiting to put forth his hand and take you in. You know, this morning early when I was seeking the Lord, and I run out of paper, and so I didn't know a credit card envelope would be much good, but it's all I could find to jot down a few things here. But I want you to understand, I felt that there might be somebody, amen, that was so weary of the way they were living, so weary of hovering out there in sin. And it may be you that right now, Amen. You're so weary. You know that God's got your number. That's why you're looking at the floor. Amen. That's why that same restlessness that you feel hovering out there, amen, in the world, amen, you feel it now because the Holy Ghost, amen, is a wooing and a drawing, amen, your heart to come home. I'm telling you, my friend, amen, again I'll tell you, there is no rest, amen, in sin. Amen, there is no rest for the wicked. Amen, there is no rest out of the ark and away from God. And if I had one message, I'd tell you, quit your hovering and come back home. Does anybody believe the Lord is ready and waiting to receive those that are weary? And so I must tell the sinner, come home. I must tell the backslider, come home. I must tell you that are hovering, seeking, searching, I must tell you that there's no rest in it. There's no rest in it. The pleasures of sin are only for a season. But there's no rest. There's no rest. There's pleasure, but there's no rest. There's merriment, but there's no rest. It's a smile now and then, but there's no rest. Oh, God. Amen. Today, amen, your wings have been tainted and stained and dingy from hovering out in a world of sin. But I'm telling you right here, amen, we ain't got a membership roll for you to sign. Amen. Come on now. Amen. It ain't shaking the preacher's hand. Amen. But it's the Savior. Amen. Standing at the ark. Amen. Ready to take you in. I don't know about you, but does anybody believe that God still says, I'll heal their backsliding? Hallelujah! I'm telling you, you need to quit your hovering and come home. And so in this text, it symbolizes and gives us a picture of those weary souls that are hovering out in the world seeking. There's some of you here today, you've watched them as they took flight out of your pews. They took flight out of the ark. They took flight out of our fellowship. They took flight, oh God, amen, and now they're hovering. Some took flight and said, I won't change. I'm just going to hover out there for a while. But in a little while, you could see the stain upon their wings. In a little while, you could see how that they became tainted and dirty and dingy. I'm telling you, you can't leave the ark and be safe. Did anybody hear me today? You cannot leave the ark of God and stay safe. Amen. It'll make you dirty and dingy. Amen. And I'm telling you this morning, my friend, amen, you need to quit hovering. Oh, God. And I'm going to say this. Once you backslide from holiness, amen, you can never be right. Amen, you can never be right until you come back to what you know. You cannot take flight from holiness and hover down at the Baptist and be right. You cannot take flight from holiness and hover down at the Methodist and be right. The only way you'll ever be right with God is return. But I'm telling you, the Lord will take you in. I said, God Almighty will pull you in. You got to quit hovering and come home. I need just a little on these, my dear brother. And so if this dove represents a sinner weary and hovering in sin, and if this dove represents a backslider weary and hovering in sin, I want to preach to you what I felt like God really, really spoke to my heart. Because it's not only a picture, amen, of a sinner or a backslider, amen, but this picture of this dove that has found no rest also could represent to us a weary-winged saint of God. You know, I've been noticing how heavily some of you have flown in here this morning. I've kind of been noticing how heavy, amen, your wings have been lately. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Amen, I've kind of been noticing in some of our churches, amen, how that the wings are drooping. And they're losing the melody, and they're losing the song, and they're losing the joy. Did you know we've got them, Brother Joy, in our churches? Amen, they're ready to drop. They're ready to fall out. Amen, they're weary. And I'm not saying that they've taken a flight into sin. Amen, I've already dealt with that. But I feel like God spoke to my heart this morning. Amen, that we've got some weary winged saints of God. Amen, you explain it to me. Amen, because I can't explain it to you. I don't understand how sometimes, amen, we allow the devil to rob us of the rest that we have in the ark. Come on now. I mean, when we come to the house of God, it ought to be a haven. Come on now. When we come to revival, amen, it ought to be a haven. When we come to an old-fashioned camp meeting, it ought to be a place where we renew our strength. Amen. Come on now. And we gain, amen, strength in our wings. Amen. I know the scripture said they, amen, that wait upon the Lord shall, amen, renew their strength. But listen, my friend, I don't understand how sometimes, amen, we are robbed, amen, of the rest and the peace of God. Amen. Listen, if I preach to the sinner that they gotta quit hovering and come home, and if I preach to the backslider that they gotta quit hovering and come home, I believe the same message ought to be preached to our saints, amen, that are drooping and weary and tired. My God, I come to tell you there is rest. Hallelujah. I said there is rest for the weary. Come on now. What you got to do is learn how to return to the ark. If the only rest is in the ark for the sinner, and the only rest is in the ark for the backslider, then the only rest for the weary winged saint this morning is in the ark. And I'm afraid I'm preaching to people that have allowed the devil to rob them of the rest that the Bible promises is in God. Now in this picture of a dove, we see symbolized that weary soul that represents a sinner hovering. But I felt the Holy Ghost deal with my heart that the reason some of you are so weary is right now, this morning, you're out there hovering over the destruction that the flood has brought in your life. You're hovering over the desolation that that trial brought in your life. And I'm telling you something that'll make you very weary is to go back and hash it over and over and over and over and talk about it over and over and over. And every day of your life, you're hovering over the destruction that the flood has brought. I've never seen anything that would make a saint of God at one time had worship, amen, become so weary than to watch them as they go out, amen, and hover. Amen, did you know the Bible tells us that there are some things we ought to forget? Amen, come on now. Those things which are behind us, we ought to forget them. And then we ought to press forward unto the things which are before. I'm telling you, we got a church full, amen, of weary winged saints. And the only reason they're so weary, they're hovering over the destruction that the flood has brought into their lives. Oh God, listen to me. This dove here in the text cannot endure to spend the night hovering, amen, over the restless waste that was brought about by the flood. And so she knows, if I'm going to have rest, I can't just hover over here over this waste. I can't just hover over here and analyze, amen, everything the flood has done. How many will agree that the flood will come. The Bible said when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And so it is inevitable, my friend. Amen. Just as it was in the life of Noah, God revealed there's going to be a flood. But he didn't reveal how long it's going to last. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, amen, if you made it through the last flood, it ain't the last one. Come on now. If you made it through the last storm, it ain't the last one. Come on now. Amen. Listen, I noticed something about a flood. When a flood comes, there's two things that happen. Number one, it destroys something beautiful. Has anybody ever been by? Amen. After the flood has come and gone, and the trees are uprooted. Come on now. Amen. All things, amen, have floated away. There's roots and dirt and debris, amen, that have been washed downstream by the flood. Come on now. When a flood comes, usually it destroys something beautiful. And sometimes it gets into houses. It creeps into homes and it destroys something valuable. I want to tell you, my friend, the Bible said the enemy shall come in like a flood. And there's going to be times in your life, amen, when you are flooded out. There's going to be times in your life when the trial comes and the adversity comes and the tragedy comes. But I come to preach to somebody, it is not the will of God after the flood for you to hover over it forever and ever. And the only reason why you haven't got what you need out of this meeting, instead of coming home and allowing God to give you rest, you're still hovering over the flood. Pastor Jack, Big Jack. Wife and family, takes them all up there. They move to another state. Amen. Things go good. Revival is happening. People are being added to the church. The church that went from a handful is now running 40 or 50. God's moving. Amen. And I'm sure that in his mind later, we're going to get this thing set up right. Come on now. I mean, if it's really going to be God's church, it's got to be God's church. Amen. Not your church, not my church. It's got to be God's church. Amen. But right in the middle of that revival, amen, not just a one-week revival, but I'm talking about, amen, a spiritual revival that God was giving them, amen, trouble began to brew. Come on now. All of a sudden, the owner, amen, and some others were enticed and persuaded, amen, and it just got to be a big old mess. Amen, Brother Jack, feeling like it was the will of God, amen, to stay there, refused to resign. Come on now. And so one day he comes home, and there's a for sale sign in front of the parsonage and the church, and it's listed with a real estate company. Now, how would you feel? Some of you might feel pretty good to come home and find out that the parsonage was for sale, but you know, most preachers, hey man, come on now, you talk about a flood, you got to explain to the children sitting in the back seat, hey man, I don't know, Dad will pray about it, and we'll, you know, let's pray, let's not jump to conclusions here. I mean, how do you explain some things? Hey man, you moved them out of state, hey man, took them away from their home, hey man, trying to do the work of the Lord, and now it's trouble, amen, and problems. I'm telling you, the Bible said that the enemy shall come in like a flood. Amen. The devil don't tiptoe in, my friend. Amen. And knock and say, hello there, preacher. Is it all right if I flood your heart with trouble? Is it all right if I flood your soul with sorrow? But when he comes, amen, there's an intensity, amen, that comes with the attack of the devil. Come on now. And so it got really nasty. And it got really messy. And it got really hairy. Amen. Until all of a sudden, amen, when there was a court order, amen, my good friend, my buddy, he bowed out. He packed up his things and belongings and said, I'm not going to put that kind of reproach on the church. And he bowed out. He packed up and he moved home. Listen to me. Amen. For sale sign went down. The contract they had, amen, with another
a movement. Amen. They annulled it. They said, never mind. We decided. Now the preacher's gone. We don't want to sell the church. I'm preaching to you, my friend. Amen. That God told Noah, get 7 days and it's going to start raining. Come on now. And he might be telling somebody right here, in a little while, the floods are coming. Come on, friend. I'm telling you, the flood, amen, came to the life of my brother. And when a flood comes, it destroys something valuable. And now those children look at the man that bought suits and gave offerings, and there's no confidence. When a flood comes, it destroys valuable things. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. Was he there? Dedication? Oh, Big Jack? He was there. He was there. He was there. Big Jack. He was there. You know what? He came home. And he's been there ever since. He preaches out and does what he can. But you know what the devil wanted him to do? Hover over that where the flood came. Come on now. And in every revival, meet the evangelist at the back door and tell them how bad the church done them. Come on now. The devil wants him to hover over. Amen. What the flood done. Come on, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. I'm telling you, I don't know anything that'll make a soul any more weary than for them to go out and hover over the destruction. I ain't denying the fact, amen, of what they said. You know the countenance on their face and the spirit they had when they said it better than I do. But in Jesus' name, don't hover over it. It was a flood. There's no place to rest out there. It'll sap you. It'll destroy you. Hallelujah. You'll wind up backslid. You can't hover over the flood. You gotta return home. You know why you ain't got the victory? You're spending all of your time hovering over what the flood's done. And every few months when you sit down to dinner, you remind your children of what the flood's done. And you hover over it. And you hover over it. And you hover over it. No wonder you come to church with your wings drooping. You've been hovering over things that happened 10 years ago. Amen. You've been hovering over. How can we expect you to fly high in our meetings? Because all day long you've been on the phone hovering over it. Come on now. The flood done it. Amen. The flood brought it. It was destruction and desolation and wreck and ruin. I'm not doubting that. I said I don't doubt that the flood in your life, I know it hurt you. I know it wounded you. But in the name of God's heaven, don't hover it over. Amen. You'll get so weak until you plummet. You'll get so weak until you die. If somebody shout amen, there's no rest in hovering over the past flood. I said there is no rest in hovering over the past flood. And so, Brother Jack could hover over that the rest of his life. And any time a preacher preaches about pastoring, he has gravel in his mouth and a chip on his shoulder. Come on now. The only thing old Big Jack was worried about when Brother Joe and Sister Tricia came was how can I get him back for stopping me and pulling me over when I went through West Plains. Come on now. But you know what? I believe with all of my heart that old Brother Jack is so safe at home. Amen. At peace with God. Wow! I believe he's at so much peace with God. Amen. That if he knew today it was really the will of God, he'd find another pulpit. He'd pack up and move again. Is anybody getting what this preacher's trying to tell you? Amen. I'm not doubting the flood that came in your life. I'm not telling you, amen, that it wasn't painful. Floods always do that. They destroy. They uproot. They wreck. They ruin. But it is not the will of God for you to hover over it and analyze. realize that. Amen. You'll get weary. Oh, God. You know why we can't do anything with some of our people? Because every time you try to help them, they bring up the flood. They talk about everything the flood destroyed. They talk about all the desolation, the destruction of the flood. I'm telling you, I'm not denying that a flood didn't come your way. But you cannot hover over a past flood. And while we sing, when the preacher preaches his text, and he preaches on restitution, there you go to hovering about how wrong they done you and how many people ought to come and apologize to you. And you hover over it, the soul, amen, the whole service. Amen, every time a song is sung about forgiveness, there you go to hovering over it. Amen, your wings, amen, are drooping. Amen, I'm telling you, the most weary life that you could ever live, amen, is to live all of your days, amen, hovering over the past flood and the destruction. Amen, you know what? Amen. The only way I know how to get over what the flood done is get back to the ark. Oh, I said the only way that I know you can get over, amen, the destruction the flood brought is for you to come and let Him take you in and give you rest for your weary soul. David, my cousin David, drunk, on narcotics. The plant shut down early because of a power failure. Him and his friend get in a vehicle, go out for a night on the town. They get off work early. They go to a few taverns. They head down a paved road at a high rate of speed. All of a sudden, the road tees. You got to go left. You got to go right. They went straight on at a high rate of speed. Hit about a 4-foot embankment. Flipped that vehicle up. Hit into a tree. Landed on its top. It threw David out of the vehicle. He was aroused out there somewhere in the woods. Broken glass. The friend, so-called, that was with him had fled the scene. It was a few miles out of town, out into a rural area. David crawling on his knees and looks up and in the distance sees a security light on a pole at a nearby farmhouse. And so he crawls and crawls, and in his delirious state, he gets into an old abandoned vehicle that's sitting out there in the field. He's trying to start it. He don't know what's going on, what's happened. He's so in so much shock. And so the old man that lives in the house, he looks out and sees this young man wandering around out there in the pasture. And so he goes and gets him and realizes how badly he's broken and bruised from this accident. So they call 911. Long story. Take him to the hospital and all those things. Every bone in his face from here down was broken. From here down, every bone. Jaws, nose, upper jaw, lower jaw. Every bone was broken. He put him in intensive care. His face swollen beyond its normal size. The nurse comes in. He curses. Screams. Gives him a liquid medication. It tastes bad, so he curses at the nurse and screams in intensive care. While all of this is going on, my precious little aunt, Sister Fritz, I don't know if you noticed her, she came by herself. She's a little gray-headed Indian woman sat right behind my mom. And she went to the chapel and she began to pray. Praying for God to heal David. Come on now. Her firstborn son laying in intensive care. Finally, he got so severe, the doctor came out and said, his brain's swelling. Pretty soon, it's going to swell. It's going to fall on that nerve, and he's going to die. Go out into eternity, and unless there's a miracle, David's going to die in just a few days. And so we went into that intensive care unit and walked in. And I saw my aunt. We called her Aunt Henny. That was her nickname. I saw Aunt Henny sitting there, and she looked up at me. And she said, Kev, people think I'm crazy, but I got such a peace. I got such a peace. Come on now. You see, before all of that, and he went and got that severe, they were going to do a constructive surgery early at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I mean, just a little normal procedure. That's going to take him in, cut a hole right here, insert a trachea tube, and reconstruct and put some steel plates in there. Amen. When they got in there and cut that hole in his throat to insert that trachea tube, that really, sometimes they do it on the street. Someone that's choking, they'll put a hole there so that they can breathe. It's a very normal procedure. But when they cut in there, David's jugular veins, instead of branching down here and going up each side, they branched right in that hole. And when they made an incision there, he began to bleed excessively, had a brainstem stroke, and went into a coma. All the time, Aunt Henny's in the chapel. Lord, would you save David? Lord, would you save David? Lord, would you save David? And one day while she's praying, she said the Holy Ghost spoke and said, let him go. He's mine. Because you see, a few hours before the surgery on that Sunday morning, he called his mom and said, Mom, I'm scared. David, do you want to pray? Yeah, I want to pray, Mom. And so she called some of the others from the church, and they went up there and prayed with David. He said he wept and cried and prayed so hard the bed shook. And he felt like, amen, that he had returned to the ark and God had saved him. Got up from the bed. He wasn't a poet. Never had wrote a poem in his life, I don't guess. Walked over to the edge of the window a few minutes. Didn't know that in a few minutes he'd be in a coma, looked out the window and said, one more step is all I can see. But I'm not afraid because Jesus walks with me. Come on now. Amen. Went into surgery. Had a brainstem stroke. Went into a coma. We went in there. My Aunt Henny is saying, Kev, people think I'm crazy, but I got such a peace. God didn't heal him, but God saved him. And in a few days, David died. We go to the funeral. The service went well. Now we're at the graveside. People are filing by. The family's weeping. It's a time of sorrow. The flood has come. You hear me? The flood has come. And when it comes, it destroys valuable things. And sometimes the flood is so far reaching, you can never forecast just how far it will go. And so now we're sitting there and friends and family are filing by. They're shaking hands. People are weeping. Hearts are heavy. And all of a sudden, in the crowd is a long-haired Cherokee Indian boy that was riding in the vehicle with David that tragic night. The one that left his friend and fled the scene of the accident. Never showed up at the hospital. Never showed up to visit an intensive care. Never called or sent a card or a bouquet of flowers. But now he shows up with the family and the friends filing by. That sweet little wife. And there sat Beth, weeping. Her heart was heavy. Shaking hands with the friends and family. And all of a sudden this man comes up. The one that left David, the one that abandoned his so-called friend, reaches out to shake Beth's hand, and she screams, get him out of here! Get him out of here! Pandemonium. People run. David's first cousins, one of them, Jeff, jerks away from his wife, Lynn, and says, let me go. They chase him across the cemetery. People are running in pandemonium. They tackle him just outside. Oh, Steve, that's a sergeant. He ran, pulled his own brothers off of that young boy before they killed him right there in the cemetery. He pulled his brothers off and told the boy, run. Get out of here. Get out of here. They'll kill you. I'm telling you, I never seen nothing like it in all of my life. Being so full of hate. Come on now. The boy escaped. Steve turns around to me and breaks down. He said, I feel like I should have let him beat him. Because he left David. But he said, I did the right thing, didn't I? I did the right thing. I said, Steve, two wrongs never make a right. Come on now. But here's what I want to tell you. Come on now. Hey man, my Aunt Henny found the boy. Called him on the phone and said, my son's dead. and you left the scene. But I forgive you. And I want you to be saved. And I want you to go to heaven. What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, the devil would have said, why don't you just hover over the flood? Why don't you just analyze the destruction? Why don't you just see how much it cost? What all is torn up? Why don't you hover over it? But some folks are going to tell the devil, I ain't hovering over the flood. I'm going home to the ark of God where there's joy, hallelujah, and peace, and glory. And come on now. That's what you need to do. And you know why you're weary? You're hovering over the damage. Leave it. I said leave it. And come back to God. Come back to the ark. Don't let the devil rob you of rest. I forgive you. Where would she be today if she hovers over? The dove in her own little mind says, I can't do this forever. Found no place to rest. You're looking for an explanation to what happened. You ain't going to find it. Oh, I'm done. You ain't going to find it. You're hovering over it. And for 20 years, you've analyzed it. You came up with the same thing. Nothing but a bitter spirit. Nothing, amen, but sour taste in your mouth. You've analyzed it. Now come on down. Amen. And you've tried to find scriptures, amen, to support and justify the bitterness in your heart. I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to get so weary, amen, until you're going to plummet. Come on now, amen, into the mire of that same flood. Amen, you're going to get so close to it. Amen, it's going to sap your victory. I wish y'all would hear this, preacher. I'm trying to tell you, not only does the sinner need to come home and find rest, as some of you saints that are sitting right here that need to get in this altar and let God change your heart and give you some peace and some joy. I wish somebody would shout amen. You can't hover over it. You gotta come back home. Francis of Assisi chose whether to have a wife and family and children of his own or enter the monastery. He chose the latter. He had a lovely bride or friend, woman that he adored, that he would make his bride. The relationship was good, but he chose to leave that behind to enter the monastery. And on one cold, snowy, wintry night, some of the other monks there looked out and saw Francis of Assisi near Christmas time out there in that snow. And with his own hands, he picked up cold snow and he formed the figure, listen now, of a beautiful woman. And he took more snow and he formed little children and sculptured them out of the cold snow. He formed a wife and he formed children and he sat down there beside them, imagining in his own mind, this is my family and my children. And he conversed and had a little conversation with those snow sculptures. And then in just a little while, he got up and turned and left them all behind. Come on now. Amen. What was the problem? He wanted children so bad. He wanted a family so bad. Come on now. Amen. But you hover over certain things. I said you hover over certain things. Amen. And it only destroys valuable things. I don't know why that there's multitudes of family that can have children. And then when they get them, they abuse them and whip them and beat them. And a good man. Oh, and a good woman. Come on now. Are y'all hearing me? Have none to call their own, but invisible children, and what children they've made from preaching camp meetings here and there. But have you noticed anything, amen, about these two? Amen. Oh, it's a flood. Amen. Sometimes when the womb is barren, it's a flood sometimes, and there is no children. It's a flood sometimes. But isn't it wonderful that you can still go back to the ark of God, and you ain't got to hover over it until you shake your fist in God's face and blame Him for the flood? I'm telling you, my friend, you need to quit hovering over it. That's why you're so weary. I know it happened. You can tell me all about it. You know the names of all the parties. You know the date. You know the hour. You know the church. Reason why is because you spend all your time hovering over it. The flood done this. Oh, the flood done this. The flood done this. And you get weary. The dove said, I can't do this forever. And I'm telling you, you can't do this forever. And so in Missouri, there's a couple that goes to Brother Tabor's. Or they did. They got saved several years ago. If I'm not mistaken, almost a week later, never knew anything about wholeness. Never knew anything about God. Never knew anything about this way of living. Got saved and started going to the Holiness Pentecostal Church there. At that time, Brother Barnett was the pastor. They got saved. Had a baby. It died. A week after, I think, may have been a little longer, but a very short time after they got saved, they had a death. A flood. Are y'all still with me? I'm just about done. A flood. Can you imagine how the devil said, look what the flood's done? But you know what? Several years had passed when he told me. We reached over and touched the cold hands of our baby right after we got saved. And they're still saved today. Come on now. I'm telling you, the flood will come. And I'm preaching to some, the flood has come. But I'm going to tell you with an honest heart, on my last little round and my last little turn, come on now, that you better not hover over that, what the flood has done the rest of your life. Because it's going to make you so weary, you're going to go down. I read about a church that had a flood. And two things happened in that church. The flood came. And it destroyed the organ. And the other thing the flood destroyed was the furnace. And how many will agree that when the flood comes, it'll silence your song. And it'll put out your fire. But in Jesus' name, don't hover over that forever. Would you please quit bringing it up? Would you please quit reminding the preacher and every other visitor that comes to your church of what the flood has done in your life? Amen. Instead of hovering, why don't you come home? You know what happened? Oh, hallelujah. Somewhere out there, Brother Joy, hovering over that destruction. Amen. She found an olive leaf. Praise God. Amen. You know what that represented? That represented the past flood. But it also represented a promising future. Hallelujah. Well, if I could sing, I'd sing that old song. One day, when I was trying to pray, I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus one day. One day, I was walking alone. I was weary, worn, and sad. But in Him I found a resting place. And He hath made me glad. I fell in love with Jesus one day. I said, one day, I was walking alone. I was weary, worn, and sad. But in Him, I said, in Him, I found a resting place. He had made me glad. I believe the Lord will take you in, saint. I believe the Lord is waiting to pull you in. Aren't you weary? Why don't you go home? Aren't you tired? Why don't you go home? Are you troubled? Why don't you go home today? Psalm 37 and 7. Rest in the Lord. Isaiah 14 and 3. And it shall come to pass that in that day the Lord shall give thee rest. Matthew 11 and 28. Jesus said, Amen, we'll give thee rest. I wonder right now, it's getting late, but is there anybody in this house? You've been hovering over the destruction that the flood has brought in your life. All of a sudden you realize, I can't endure this. I can't take it anymore. I got to get to the altar where there is peace. Would somebody respond to the Holy Ghost this morning? I'm trying to tell you, quit hovering and come home. You know what the Bible said in verse 11? The Bible said the dove came in to him in the evening. And you know what? It's the darkest trial you've ever had in your life. And I'm telling you, you can still get in. Yow! I said, it's the darkest valley you've ever went through, but you can still get in. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's the darkest day that you've ever had to endure. The flood came. It destroyed. It brought destruction. Valuable things and beautiful things. But I'm telling you, in the ark, amen, there is still rest. I said, in the ark, there is still rest. Is anybody in this house? I said, in the ark, there is still rest. There is still joy and peace of mind. But you got to come home. One day, I was walking alone. I was weary, worn, and sad. But in Him I found a resting place. And He hath made me glad. In the name of Jesus, without a song, somebody's been hovering over the destruction of the flood. You've rehashed it. You've examined it. And every time you do, it hurts. You pull the scab off. You won't let it heal. The flood came. And I'm telling you, you cannot endure to hover over that forever. You gotta come home to peace. You gotta return to peace. Is there anybody in this house that understands that right now we could have one of the greatest altar services that we've had in any day? Amen. It'd make you one of the most victorious church members, amen, that any pastor could ever have if you'd quit hovering over it, amen, and you'd come back to God and find rest in your soul. Amen. Why don't you forget it? Amen. Why don't you forget it? Amen. Yeah, the flood done it, but at least God told you. Amen. I've got an ark for you. Amen. Yeah, the flood came, but at least God said, I'm going to make a way of escape. Get somebody shout amen. I'm telling you, somebody needs to come home to the ark. I'm not saying the flood didn't do damage. It always does damage. I'm not saying the flood doesn't destroy. It always destroys something valuable and something beautiful. But I'm telling you, the ark is still afloat. Wow! Amen, the flood came, but there's one thing the flood didn't destroy. It didn't destroy the ark. Is there anybody in this house that'd like to see somebody come home to peace, and come home to joy, and come home to satisfaction, and come home to victory? My God, we need the Holy Ghost. I wish I had a praying church that prayed for the Holy Ghost to be a comforter like He promised that He would, and somebody could come home. You know what you're going to do? You're going to leave out of here and hover over it. You're going to hover over it. You're going to hover over it. Amen. The flood. Amen. Has come and tore up things. The flood came, destroyed your marriage. The flood came, made a prodigal out of your son or daughter. The flood came and caused church trouble. The flood came and you were abused. The flood came and you were broken and wounded. But in Jesus' name, don't hover over it. It'll make you weary quicker than anything I know. Get into the ark of God. If the sinner's got to come home for rest, you got to come home for rest. If the backslider's got to come home to find rest, then saint of God, you got to come home to find rest. If the sinner's got to come to the ark to get peace, then you got to get to the ark to have peace. Oh yeah, the flood came. The rains came. It destroyed everything. But one thing it didn't destroy. It didn't destroy the ark of safety. And I'm telling you, the ark of God is still intact today. Come on, sinner friend. Maybe you're in the house. Come on, backslider. Maybe you're in the house. There's no rest. No rest. But saint of God, we've sung every song we know, and there's still no rest. We preached every message we could preach, and there's still no rest. Amen. The only thing I know to do is to tell you to get home. Oh.